Man, some of you might be new to Believers Chapel, and you come to see that we are a worship and word church. Maybe it's your first weekend. Maybe you've been checking us out for a few weeks. Man, we are very excited and very thankful that you choose to be here. And for those who are so consistent, man, we love you. Thank you. Week after week, you come. Whether it's a Saturday night or on a Sunday morning, you're here, and you're consistent. You're going to see God do an amazing work in your life, and you understand who we are as a worship church. You understand that we do believe in the book of praise. That's the Psalms. And we get our pattern of worship and praise. We took it from, how about the book of praise? We praise the way the book of praise says, to praise. Makes sense to us. So when you see the instruments and you see the drums and you see the cymbals and you see the guitars and you see the voices and you see the hands raised and the hands clapping and people pumped and excited and celebrating Jesus, it's all right here. Man, I want to show you something. This is 1 Chronicles 15. And then David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites. These were the heads of the worship leaders, man. Man, he sent out the worship and praise team first before he went to battle. Now look at this. And he spoke to the chief of the Levites. These are the head guys of the worship and praise team, so to speak, to appoint them their relatives, the singers, with instruments of music. Please hear this. Regardless of what church we came from, regardless of doctrine, regardless of theology, regardless of... Let's stick to the book. What do you say? With instruments of music, harps, lyres, loud-sounding cymbals, to raise sounds of joy. To raise, gang, I hope that every time we come together corporately in the place called the church here, being the church, the body of Christ, that we are raising up sounds, that, man, we are making a sound of joy, a place to celebrate the great creator, amazing, all-powerful, all-knowing God who would send his son to a dying, desperate, lost world to save and rescue the world. How do you not come to a place to celebrate that with raising up with sounds of joy to celebrate the great and awesome and one true, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving forever God who sent his son Jesus Christ to pay the price for you and for me. And man, for that, gang, for that, we are a church who celebrates our King and our Savior and our Redeemer. And we celebrate with a great reverence to the great I Am, the all-powerful, almighty God who loved us with such love that it cost him his son. That's why we celebrate. And all through the Psalms, you see hands raised, you see clapping, you see even dancing, and you see loud shouts of praise. And one of the words in Psalms is praise, and one of the words of praise, there's three different words for praise, is zamar. And zamar simply means to celebrate with stringed instruments or instruments played with hands accompanied with voices, to shout out and celebrate. Gang, that's amazing. Every week we get the privilege to come into church, Believers Chapel, and together as one body and together with one voice and together we make one sound. And that should be a sound of great joy, a sound of great celebration, because we have the absolute understanding of how great our God is, and we understand how good our God is, that he loved us with such a love that he so desires to have a relationship with you. And I'm very excited that you're here this morning. And I thank you that you put aside a Sunday to be here. We have welcomed our students back. We have Pitt, Brad, Bonas, and Houghton all back. JCC has been with us ever since you left. So God bless you. Live here, please. That'd be great. Welcome home. Welcome back here. We have missed you in your absence. And you guys bring an element of praise and great celebration, which we love when you are here. Gang, last week I was up very early this morning, and I listened to my message. I came here to the church early, and I watched the message online from last week. And I often try to watch the preaching of the word to correct any funny grammar that I may have possibly missed, you know. That was a great message last week. That me sometimes preaching it, God speaks to me, and then me watching it, God drills me. Man, if you were not here, that was the first message of the year. Go to livingouttruth.com and get on that message from last week, where we talked about the one thing that Paul, the man who gave us almost half the New Testament, said, I neglect, man, I forget, I leave behind, and I reach forward to what's ahead. Powerful last week. This week, as I told you last week, we're going into the one thing that David said. The one thing that he desired was to be in the presence of the Lord. The one thing that he desired was to be in the presence of the Lord. So, man, I tell you what, this week I have been, well, it's way before this week, for years. God, the presence of God. Man, what is it when you, Sunday night, powerful presence of the Lord. Here in this service, amazing, powerful presence of God. In His presence, there's rest, there's peace, there's joy. In His presence, there's communication. In His presence, we are recognizing just how great He is and just how good He is. But try to define the presence of God. How do you define it? I mean, how do you explain? You just know. I mean, when you are in a relationship with Him, you know the presence of God when you're in a relationship. I know the presence of my wife because I'm in a relationship with my wife. And you know the presence of God when you're in a relationship with God. But how do you define? I mean, I racked over this thing. God, how do I explain that the one thing that David desired was to be in Your presence? How do you explain that? I'm going over this and kicking myself, and I've done this for years. It's just, and I'm thinking, okay, great wisdom, God. I got no answer, man. I'm a great pastor. I have no idea, right? There you go. And so I'm like, okay, am I just losing it? Am I missing something? So I got online and I looked at Charles Stanley. Love him, solid teacher, opens the Bible, goes, and he was preaching on a message on the presence of God. And man, I'm looking, going, God, what am I missing? How do I define this? And my man Charles, his opening statement. Man, it's very difficult to define the presence of God. I'm thinking, yes, I'm okay. If Charles can't do it, man, I'm all right, man. I'm in good company. Praise the Lord. But gang, the one thing that David desired was to be in the presence of his Lord. And I'm asking you, if you get this message this morning, and you'll hear this thing all the way through, and you respond to what God speaks through His Word this morning, you will have a different year. You might have had an amazing 13th, incredible 13th. Can't get better, can. You can go deeper in your relationship with Him this year. We're not perfect yet, folks. We're not home. We can constantly go deeper in our relationship with Him, constantly. Let's ask God to minister today. Father, we thank You for Your Word. God, Your Word is alive and powerful. It is active and effective, God. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. God, it can shatter like a hammer. God, one verse can rearrange a life. God, if You speak to us by one verse today, we may not be the same forever, God. Incredible. That's the power of Your Word. God, I'm asking that You would give us an ear to hear today, God. Give us an eye to see exactly what we need to see from You. God, that You would speak to us today. God, that we would see in Your Word very clearly. God, by Your Holy Spirit, You would move in this place in an unmistakable way. That God, You would pinpoint this message to every single heart and soul that sits in these seats this morning. God, speak to us today, please. Please, God, come by Your Spirit. Deliver this message through me in a way that it would be unforgettable. God, that they would remember this. And God, they would cry out to You today. Folks, please. If you would ask God this morning, God, speak to me today. God, I need to hear from You today. God, You're the only one in this building who knows where I sit. God, You're the only one in this building who knows every little detail about me. God, You know exactly the state of mind I'm in. You know every single circumstance, God. You know my emotions. You know, You're the only one, God. And I need to hear from You today. Please speak to me. God, I have an ear to hear. God, I have an eye to see. And my heart is hungry to hear from You. And God, I'll respond to it. I'll respond to what I hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, folks, if you could turn to two places, Psalm 27, please, and put a marker in Psalm 27. Then flip over to Jonah, please. Psalm 27, and flip over to Jonah. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, you find that kind of towards the back of the Old Testament, and you will find Jonah. And man, I'm pumped about Jonah. We're just going to skim the surface. But after the series that we are in for the month of January, we are then going to dive deep and go through. I have been looking forward to this for 6 months. I have been waiting to preach through the book of Jonah for over 6 months. The desire came through prayer and seeking God. And man, I tell you what, I cannot wait to bust open Jonah and go verse to verse, chapter to chapter, and get in. There's so much about God's character. There's so much about His power and authority. There's so much about miracles. There's so much about His grace and kindness. There's so much about sin and disobeying God. It's just packed. Man, that's going to be February. Can't miss it. Got to be here February. So hallelujah. Come on. Now look at this. This morning's message is called Hide or Seek. See, gang, there's times in our relationship with God we're doing one or the other. We're trying to play this game of hiding from God and trying to play this game of God may not know where I'm at for some reason. We think that. And yet we come to a place, I want to read this to you, Psalm 139. This is David, and he says this, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take wings of the dawn, I dwell in the remote parts of the sea. Even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me or overshadow me, the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you." David understood, God, you are everywhere. I cannot go anywhere where you're not. God is an everywhere, always God. So how do you explain that there are times that God who is everywhere, He just comes right close to you. Such an intimate, personal, deep level that the God who is everywhere draws near to you. That's what David sought every day of his life. To be in that presence of God, where God who is everywhere would be so close to him. And there's others who hide from the presence of God. Look at this. Jonah 1 says this. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Okay, Jonah is a prophet. God speaks to Jonah to speak through Jonah. God has delivered words to Jonah to deliver to his people. This is the first time that God delivered a word to Jonah to go to the Gentiles. Jonah hated Nineveh, hated the Gentiles, hated this corrupt, evil city. Jonah didn't want them to receive grace. Isn't that awful? Prophet of God. Because he had such hatred for these people. Didn't want them. He knew. If I go and preach to them, there's a chance they're going to repent. Because I know God and His grace, He's going to forgive these awful people. Wow, what a prophet, right? Come on. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah was at a place where he knew God could find him because the word of God came to Jonah where he was. Now look at this. Arise, this is the word of the Lord. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, nope, I'm going to Tarshish. But why do you go to Tarshish? To flee from the presence of the Lord. Okay, for some reason, this brilliant prophet thought, okay, if I go to Nineveh, God's there. But if I go to Tarshish, that's the unknown land, and God is not in Tarshish. He didn't really understand the point, folks, where God delivered a message to Jonah. Jonah said no and walked in disobedience. And in his walking in disobedience, he came to a place to think, I'm going to hide from God. I'm going to try to go where God's not. How many times in relationship with God we allow sin to creep in? We don't come to this place to confess. We don't come to this place to repent. Or we know that God has put a word in your heart. And you know you see something from Scripture that's just not right in your life and you refuse to obey. Folks, it's in those moments that we hide from God. It's in those moments that we think, I can get away with this. I can hide from the presence of God. Now look at this, how it worked out for our man Jonah here. He rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into it, got with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I believe this is from the manifest presence of God, where God is speaking to Jonah. God says, I don't want that closeness. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to walk in this, and I'm going to walk in disobey, and I'm going to run. How many times, folks, have you ran from God? How many times you know that God has spoke something directly into your life? You say, God, I'm going to run from that. Look at this, verse 4. This is amazing. Then the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea. This is God. I mean, you would think that here you've got Jonah. He's in this boat. God shows up in the wind. God speaks to the wind. This is absolutely miraculous. Hurled this wind. Whew. I mean, you think about some of the great pitchers of the day who hurled the ball. Here's God saying, whoom, this great wind comes across the sea and begins to rip this boat to pieces. You would think that Jonah would know, okay, God's in this. I'm not quite away from the presence of God yet. Keep rowing, right? I mean, maybe a little further. Now look at this, please. This is amazing. Verse 9. They go into this process. Here you've got these pagan gentlemen on this boat. They all begin to cry out to their own pagan gods. And they're trying, well, who is it? Which God is upset with us? Whose God is it that's causing this? They recognize that this was something that was miraculous. That's what they recognized. And here you got Jonah sleeping in the bottom of the boat. They go wake him up. Maybe it's your God. And he says, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. He is the creator of the heavens. He knew God all-powerful. So they play this game. They cast lots. Lot falls on Jonah, so they know that your God is upset. And Jonah tells them, well, I'm fleeing from the presence of God. You know, I'm sure these guys on the boat are going, yeah, that's great for you. You didn't go too far. I mean, you didn't really. Now you fleeing from the presence of God, hear this, please, is affecting us. Okay, how much is it when we hide from God that it hinders and affects other people in our world? I don't think you hit all that well, dude, on the bottom of the boat, because our boat's falling to pieces. So he says, well, throw me overboard. I said, well, no, let's just try to outrow this thing. And God says, yeah, not really. And again, he says, the storm became more aggressive. It increased. God said, yeah, take that. And Jonah said, man, just throw me over. Now, why Jonah couldn't jump himself is beyond what I could think. I don't know. Dude, jump yourself, man. Come on. But they throw him overboard. And chapter 1, verse 17 says, God appointed a great fish. We don't know if it was a whale. We don't know what it is. I believe it was a one-time created beast, a sea creature that was God created for the ability, God all-knowing, who knew exactly what was going to take place, whether he created it in the 6 days of creation, whether he created it right before this point. God can do whatever he pleases to do. He created a great fish that had the ability to swallow a man whole without injuring the man and keep him in the belly of this fish for 3 days and three nights. Don't recommend that, okay? Probably not going to work really well for you, but this was a God-amazing, appointed, miraculous moment that God created this one-time great fish to swallow Jonah whole on purpose. And could you think maybe Jonah's going, yeah, I don't know if God's in this. I think I'm hiding from God's presence in the belly of this fish. The Bible says that seaweed was wrapped around his face. Could you, I mean, listen, I know that when you swim, sometimes your big toe touches seaweed and you wig out and freak out because you touch seaweed, right? Could you imagine for 3 days this junk wrapped around your face? But Jonah comes to his senses and he repents and he cries out to the Lord from the belly of this great fish. It's amazing that God of all creation hears his cry. Which Jonah must have knew. God is present. God is here. God is near. And if I cry out to him, he will hear me. He knew there's no running from God. He knew you can't hide from God's presence. Genesis 3, the very beginning, Adam and Eve. Here you got Adam and Eve walked in absolute perfection, screwed up, sin showed up. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself." See, sin has a way that we want to try to get away from God and try to hide ourselves from when God shows up. Folks, it wasn't that God didn't know where they were. God was bringing very clearly to their attention, "You're hiding from me." Why? "Because I was naked by the cause of sin. So I hid myself." Folks, disobedience and sin at times will cause you to try to hide yourself from the presence of God. Now, David said this, "The one thing I desire," Psalm 27, "the one thing I desire," verse 4 says this, "I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Look at this. "One thing I've asked of the Lord that I shall seek and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Folks, we are either going to hide or we are either going to seek him and his presence. We are going to try to hide from his presence or we'll take it from David. Now listen, this is David. This is a shepherd boy turned king. This is a shepherd boy who took out Goliath. This is a shepherd boy who was chased down by the king because David began to grow in great stature. David began to grow in great popularity. Saul got all jealous, got all freaked out, tried to take out David. David had the hand of the Lord on him. David becomes king. Greatest king in Israel's history to this day. Man, this is one who the Bible declares David is the one who is a man after God's own heart. David is a man who failed. David is a man who caused adultery. David is a man who caused murder. David was an absolute gross sinner. And David's the one who said the one thing that I ask of God is that I may seek and reside in his presence. You see, the house of the Lord was a symbol of his presence. David said, "What I want, please write this down, the word seek here. It means to passionately pursue, eager, aggressive, passionate pursuit, to strive after." This is where David was. He said, "I am going to passionately, aggressively, eagerly pursue, strive after, to a point where I want to reside and dwell in the presence of God all the days of my..." I don't want to be a day without the presence of God. That's where David was. And you could imagine of all of who David was and all that David gave us, everything about David, a man after God's own heart, the one thing: I am passionately needed to be in the absolute presence of God every day of my life. And you got to understand what it means to seek after. Could you imagine this year, 2014, day after day you come to a place to seek, passionately go after God, day after day. Because you long to be in his manifest presence. You long to be right where God, you long to cry out to God, knowing that he hears you. In his presence, there's peace and rest and joy. Come on, Psalm 105 says this. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Again, that's that word zamar. That is to praise him with a celebration using instruments and voices accompanied together. Again, that's what we do. We come to a place to get into his presence through praises. Speak of his wonders. Glory, or that word glory means boast in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord, let the heart of those who passionately, eagerly, aggressively pursue and strive for the Lord be glad. You know what takes place when you come to the presence of God? When you are purposefully, passionately, aggressively striving for and going after God. Gladness. Because you've come to the presence of God. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face. Again, seek, seek, seek. Go after, go after, go after. Pursue, strive for with passion. Seek his face continually. Folks, please hear this word continually. This is huge. Continually, it means something of a habit. It means something that you make a pattern of daily. That's what that means. Folks, when is the last time that you were passionately in pursuit of God and it was your habit day after day? Or would you say, my seeking after him, my eagerly aggression of pursuing him, whether it is through worship and prayer, whether it is on my face before him in my time of prayer, whether it's my time of reading and digging in, wanting to know him and get to know him on a deeper level, to walk in this intimate relationship with him, knowing that he is my God, knowing that he is my Father, knowing that I've been adopted to him, knowing that Jesus went to prepare a place for me. Man, I want to know him. Man, I want to dig in this relationship with him. David says it needs to be continual. It needs to be a pattern, folks, not hit or miss. The last time I did that was, I don't know. He says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face over and over and over, that it would just be the way you do. It would just be who you are. It would just be that you are making time this year, day after day, to passionately pursue him. Look at this. Come on. Psalm 27 says this. The one thing I've asked of the Lord that I may seek, that I may passionately pursue, dwell within his presence. Why? Look at this. To behold, to think on, to gaze on, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. This is not some weird word of meditate that we think on today, that some little dude named Yoda from Star Wars said, oh, let's meditate. No, this is not a Yoda or a yoga word, okay? This is a God-given word. Meditate means to think on over and over. That's what this means. And you know what? To gaze or think on the beauty of the Lord. You know what? To behold the beauty of the Lord. When you come to a place of worship, when you come to a place of praise, when you come to a place to recognize who he is, you know what? All through the Psalms, what he recognizes is God's greatness and God's goodness. Gang, if you are to come to a place in his word, if you come to a place on your face and on your knees, you come to a place and a place of praise and worship in your own home, you are going to be reminded and thinking on over and over of just how great God is, just how powerful God is, just how God is everywhere all at once, how all millions of people can be crying out to God all at the same time, and God hears every single one, and the client says, that's the absolute power, that God in 6 days created the heavens and the earth, the stars, the sun, the moon, how amazing, and you are constantly thinking and meditating and going over and over the absolute beauty and greatness and power of God. And you know when you do that, all of a sudden your circumstance begins to get smaller and smaller, and your day doesn't seem to be so bad. When you recognize in him I trust, he is a great creator. He is all powerful. He knows all things. He goes before me, takes my right hand, goes behind me. He is all around me. That's my God whom I am passionately pursuing to get to know. And the second thing is this, when you behold the absolute delight in him, you know his goodness, his kindness, his grace, his love, his patience for you. When's the last time in your mind How many days consecutive can you say, man, I have rolled that over my mind again and again and again because I have passionately pursued him? Because he has said to seek his face continually. Look at this. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent. He will hide me. He will lift me up. There's that word that Pastor Dan preached on, NASA, to elevate me upon the rock. And now my head will be elevated or lifted above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. There's that same word, zamar, to play in great celebration. Instruments accompanied with voices. Now look at this. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. Now look at verse 8. This is great. When you said, God, when you said, seek my face, my heart, the deepest part within me, said, O Lord, I will seek your face. When you said to me, seek my face. God, the deepest part in me said, oh Lord, your face I shall seek. Folks, if you come to that point in that deep, intimate relationship with him, that in the deepest part of your heart, you have said, it will be me who seeks your face. Come on, Psalm 22, please. Psalm 22, verse 26, real quick. The afflicted will eat and be satisfied, and those who seek him will praise him. If you're one who is passionately, eagerly pursuing him, then you'll be one who understands what it is to praise him, to thank him, to honor him, to adore him, to exalt him. That won't be hard for you. That won't be an issue for you to come to a place. If you are one who understands what he calls you and I to do is to seek and to go after his presence, it will not be difficult for you to praise him. Come on, chapter 24, verse 6 says this. Now, I want you to know something. All through Scripture, we see generation after generation. God has always had a generation. God has always had a remnant within every generation that will cry out to him. God has always had a peace. I always had a people in every generation that would maintain truth, that would maintain a fear for him, that would maintain a hatred for sin, that would recognize what it is to seek and pursue after him. And gang, this is the deal for Believers Chapel. This is the deal for our young people, from old to young to old, from infants to almost near death, that we would be a people in this society. We got to open our eyes to this, that we are living in a very perverse, crooked generation, gang. Is it going to be you and I who are called to be the light? Is it going to be you and I who take this verse right here, that this is the generation of those who seek him, who pursue him passionately, go after him, who seek your face? When I said to you, seek my face, the deepest part of my heart said, oh Lord, your face I will seek. Could you imagine as a teenager, you come to a place to be passionately pursuing him? Could you imagine as a young adult, a college student, questions all around, and you are passionately, continually, day after day, pursuing him, seeking his face? You as a husband and a dad, day after day, passionately striving after his face. You as a wife and a mother, day after day, continually, passionately, eagerly getting into his presence, seeking after him. How different would your day be? How different would your marriage be? How different would your school be as a teenager? How different would your influence be? Would you be the one getting influenced? Or after you being in the very presence of God, after you are passionately pursuing him, are you the one who's going to go influence? Gang. When he says that you and I are called to passionately pursue him daily. Daily. Psalm 73 says this. I just want to read this to you. From 1 Chronicles 15, I read to you that David assigned to his Levites, the chief of Levites, to go find those who were going to lead in worship. David knew worship. David was a worship leader. David was one who wrote so many of the Psalms. Solomon wrote Psalms, David wrote Psalms, and this dude named Asaph wrote Psalms. Asaph in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, was assigned by David through his chief of Levites to be a worship leader. This is a worship leader. This is David's worship leader, Asaph, writing Psalm 73. Then he comes to this verse in 28. He says, but as for me, you'd think he would know something about the presence of God. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. He knew. He made it personal. He brought it down to this relationship between him and God. God, but as for me, I'm not looking left. I'm not looking right. I'm not looking far. I'm not looking back. I'm not giving a rip about anyone else. But God, me and you here. I know, God, that your presence and your nearness to me, God, it's for my good. That's what he says. Do you think if you were to rearrange your schedule, if you think that you would give him the very first, the best part of your day in the morning, do you think if you maybe got up a little earlier or put aside some other things so that you would take this for real and your life will never be the same again, that you passionately pursue and go after him, that wouldn't be worth it? But you come to this place right here. But as for me, I know that the nearness of my God, the presence of God, is for my good. Now look at this. I have made the Lord God my refuge. And this word refuge means way of escape. Gang, I got out of work about 1 o'clock this morning. Got home 1:30, got in bed about 2, was out of bed at 3. Couldn't sleep. Came to the church, but lying in bed, going over the message and praying for people and praying for the services and watching what God can do, this is what God put in my heart. And it's worth not sleeping, folks. Because when you understand the nearness of God is my good and God is my refuge, he is my way of escape. When you want us to please hear this, please understand way of escape. Because this is what God put on my heart about 3 o'clock this morning. There are so many who are trying to escape from me and not trying to escape to me. Folks, we're going one direction or the other. You're either fighting the presence of God and you know God is knocking at your door. And you know there's things in your life that aren't right. You know that there's sin that is present. And you know that you have wandered. You know that you're in a place that's just not right. And you have come to a place to try to escape from God. And God is saying, would you stop? Would you come to a place to escape to me? Come towards me. Pursue me. And God says this amazing thing in James 4, that when you do that, when you pursue him, when you draw near to God, he promises, man, he guarantees that I will come close to you. If you would draw near to me, then I will draw near to you. If you pursue me, I'm coming after you. Gang, we know this already. God has already pursued every one of us in such a way that in our lost, wicked ways, in our sinful ways, God took it upon himself to pursue every single man and every single woman and every single child and every single one who's ever had breath pursued us so much that he would send his son to die on a cross for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of the world. God has already pursued you. But when you and I come to that place of recognizing what Jesus did for us, we walk in this relationship with him. And when we pursue him in that deep relationship, there are moments that God just comes right by. And he draws so close to you that you know, this is my God. And in this, I rejoice. And I know, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. Just bow your heads, please. How could it, when God draws near, how could that ever be bad, folks?
How could you clear in time for him? Ever be a waste of time? Man, I challenge you. I challenge you. Please find. I dare you. Find something that's more important in your schedule than drawing near to him. So I just can't. I'm too busy. If you want relationship with God that takes time, any relationship you ever have takes time. Cannot have a great relationship with your spouse if you don't spend any time with your spouse. Cannot have a great relationship with your kids if you don't spend any time with your kids. And you cannot have a relationship with God if you spend no time with God. Because he came to reconcile, gang. That's the deal. He so desperately wants relationship with you that he sent Jesus to bridge the gap. He sent Jesus to repair that broken relationship so that you and I could be in good relationship with him. Father, son, father, daughter relationship. Wouldn't it be awful that your son or your daughter was declaring how great you were, but never, ever want to spend any time with you? Man, I'm telling you, as a parent, you'd think maybe I'm just not that important. God is a father. You got to picture him as a father. He's Abba Father, and he's adopted you as son and daughter. And he so desperately wants you to pursue him and to seek his face continually that it would be such a habit and such a joy to come to a place that you so strongly desire to be in his presence and to seek his face. So folks, this morning, is it hide or seek? Which one is it? Are you escaping from the presence of God? Or are you escaping to the presence of God? God, I'm asking that you just let this sit in their hearts, God. This is your word. God, if we on such a personal, individual basis, day after day, would pursue you and know over and over and over what it is to seek you, to passionately, aggressively, eagerly strive for you, how radically we would be changed, how our days would not be the same, our marriages would not be the same, our kids would not be the same. God, we would know you on such a deeper, deeper level than any before. Because we know, God, but as for me, you being near to me is good. Folks, if you're hiding or you're in a place where you're trying to escape from the presence of God, I'm begging you, please. Please, this morning, come back. And please, this morning, quit fighting it. He is pursuing you, and he's going after you, and he's going after you, and he's going after you. And he continually pursues you. You can't go far enough, folks. He'll cause the wind to bring you back. You can't row fast enough. He'll just increase the wind. You can't jump overboard. He'll swallow you by a fish. You can't escape, folks, the presence of God. Please know that. Please, this morning, come to a place to turn back to him. And please, this morning, come to a place to repent and turn from your sin. Say, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Jesus, forgive me. God, forgive me. Jesus, thank you for loving me and pursuing me. And God, I will continually, I will make it a habit, God, like I have never done before, purposefully spend time with you and to pursue you and to be eager about it. Can't wait, God. It would be the absolute delight of my heart, God. It would be what I desire. Change my heart. Rearrange me this morning, God. Let this word stick to me today, that I will not let go of it. In Jesus' name.
Come on, folks, let's stand up. Hallelujah.